Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it's Tuesday night. That means it's ABCs of Apostleship, Discipling Apostolic Christian Night. And I'm excited about tonight because I've got something very special for you. I was so excited that a few of you caught me this afternoon on my Stockscope, where I just spontaneously decided to Periscope to invite you to make sure you were on tonight and also that you took time to share it with everyone. I hope you did that for me. And if not, we still have time. We still have some time. You can right now go and share Dr. Price's on with answers from heaven tonight. This is going to be just a little bit of a different session, but I promise you, you will be glad that you tuned in. So tell your friends, tell your pastors, your apostles and prophets, your leaders, your trainers and trainees, your elders, your board. Your church, come on, let's get the body of Christ there. I don't care what your denomination is. You know, God Christ don't care about thing about a denomination. Really hard for you to be an apostle and be caught up in that. But in any event, I'm not. So I don't care about that. What I want is the body of Christ, because when it's all said and done, we are the body of Christ. And I want you to get on your text, share, hashtag push, and say, Dr. Price is on with some powerful answers from heaven tonight. And I believe that when we're done, you're going to agree with me that it's powerful. And you know why? Because when I'm done, you're going to be empowered. Well, before we get started tonight, because once I get on the flow, you know, I can't stop myself or get caught up. You all know my favorite thing is Jesus is a sugar pie. We said Jesus is a sugar. Well, I can't help it. When you're up close and personal with somebody sweet as the king, you can't help it. I got a lot of love names for him, and that's one. Well, I got in the mail a belated birthday gift from Janita out of Pennsylvania, who decided to capture my honey pie in a T-shirt. You have to put it in front of the screen. It won't be. Oh, can
I know
you
what
do
this
it?
Is. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, you go in and out. Okay.
Yay, look what I got.
It says, my sugar pie Jesus is a what? Is a rewarder of the diligent.
Yay! I love it. And I had to share it. I wanted to thank her and to let her know I appreciate her capturing my words and my sentiment and my love for my honey on my T-shirt. You know, and the Bible says that, you know, if you're not ashamed of God, God's not ashamed of you. If you brag on God, God brags on you. And so what is praise but bragging? Praise is literally bragging on God. It's bragging about what he did, bragging about who he is, bragging about how he got started, bragging about how he gave you the victory. Praise is bragging on the Lord. And so I brag on him all the time. And even when there's no one around, I told God this week, I was meditating and praying before I went to sleep, and I said to God, you know, Jesus, bless your sweetheart. I don't need a mic or a camera to praise you and to brag on you. You never stop doing awesome things for me. And so after that, I just kind of honeyed them up a little bit and sugared them up and said, now, thank you, God. I appreciate you for being my God. I'm so glad that he did not allow me to miss him. You realize how many millions of people pass through the world every day wondering if there is a God? But not us. We know there's a God. And you know what else we know? We know that our God is God. That's some good stuff. Well, I think I covered myself. Who do I have in? Do I have some of my regulars in yet? Have they checked in for me yet?
Louisiana.
Hi, Louisiana.
Louisville, Kentucky. Lexington, Kentucky. Scottsdale, Arizona.
Woo!
Apostle Barbara Davis is inviting the world. Those are some of her people checking in. Virginia, Florida. That's two signs on so far.
So far. All right. How are we doing over there in the Paris Gulf, man?
Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, we went all the way up.
Indiana.
Uh-huh.
Portland, Oregon.
Portland. All right.
We have New Rochelle, New York.
Yes.
California. Iowa. New Jersey. Rochester, New York. Georgia. Maryland. They just keep coming.
Jacksonville's in the house. Carolina's in the house.
Yes.
Milwaukee.
Memphis. Lord, Memphis.
We have the Bronx, New York. Right.
Yes. Oh, my.
Kansas.
Coming on in.
Rochester's over on the
Facebook as well. Okay.
Panama City.
Panama. Hi, Panama
Tennessee,
City. Miss you guys. Tennessee.
Tulsa.
Hey, home. Hi, Tulsa.
Miami.
We have a Buttermilk, Kansas.
Do we really? Is that on the map?
I guess so.
I love it. I got to meet them. Hey.
Atlanta's in the house.
Atlanta. You know, Atlanta.
Georgia. Hartford,
Connecticut. All right, Raleigh. Raleigh, North Carolina.
Woo! Look at that. So I've got the north, the south, the coast, the coast.
Boca.
Boca. Hi, Boca. I haven't been there in a long time. Tell everybody I said hello.
Your near ministries are checking in.
Oh, I love my near people doing this.
Boca's checking in.
Hometown. I like it. Yes. Good. Well, I tell you, this is exciting, and it's good to hear from you. And again, I thank you all for helping us go big, because that's what I want you to do. Well, and you know what we're going big with? We're going big with the smart Christians. We're going big with apostolic Christians. We're going big with the body of Christ, the worldwide body of Christ. We are going to do awesome things. So what am I going to do tonight? What will I be doing tonight? The truth be told, I'm going to do something that I've never done, particularly do it a lot. Not because I don't like it, but because I'm very protective of God. I'm very protective of God's wisdom and truth. You know, many of us feel like if God says something, we need to publish it. And so we are kind of caught up in the see and say mode. That's just how it's been done. I've never been a proponent of that. But there are times that God wants to get something on the record. Tonight is one of those times. And so you're going to like it. And I've entitled this Answers from Heaven. But before I go to it, because once I get into it, it's going to be a nonstop ride, I want to, heck, remember, we're coming from our book, Discipling Apostolic Christians. Book two, Discipling Apostolic Christians. And after tonight, you're going to really get on board. I want you to start telling me if you're jumped on the train. I need to know who's on the apostolic Christian train. Choo-choo. Whoop-whoop. Come on. Get on board. Anyway, this is a congregational study, and I want to read to you tonight from a little bit from Unit 8, and it's called Unit 8. When you finish, if you have this book, read Unit 8 tonight. Now, for those of you who don't know, Prophet Ashley has been teaching this on her Sunday sermons, and you can go to her site and catch up on it. So if you want to teach it and you say, gee, I don't know where to begin, I don't know how to get started, just go there and let her do all the work. She's done it, so you should go and listen to it. She does a great job. Don't forget, Chief Prophet Tala is on Wednesday night with Before the Garden. We got you covered. We got you covered in your apostolic Christianity. To this Unit 8 is how Christianity became the Almighty's first civilization. You know, one of the things that we have been bought into is that we don't belong here. That's not true. We are God's first civilization, and we're God's first civilization. You know, before Adam was Satan, he was God. We need to understand that. God did not create us to belong to the world. He created us to reflect eternity in the now. And so talk a little bit about that. So I want to read just a little bit about it because I've got so much for you tonight. God begot Jesus first and then put us in him before making anything else. Are you kidding? We predate Earth. If they say the Earth is 4 billion years old, we're older than that. We predate the galaxy. We predate the universe. We predate all God's work. So don't tell me we don't belong here. We are the residents. We are the due residents of the land. So before anything else, it is why and how Jesus holds the title of first begotten. His Father deposited us in his first begotten Son, the way our offspring and their generations reside in human bodies as sperms and eggs. Jesus' spiritual sperm is what begets us again to God and what makes the Godhead our parent. We're not just their handiwork. Oh, hallelujah. We are literally their offspring. We are born from the same genetics that God made Jesus from. That's why you must get born again. See, people sitting in church never took a moment to get born again. So you're going to put in all of that good old church time and that good old church praise and good church worship. You put in all those tithes and everything, and you forgot to handle just that little piece. You know, you forgot to get your passport stamped that you can, and get your birth certificate saying born from above. So don't let that pass you by tonight. If you forgot that, if you passed on by that, then go ahead and do it. You know, a lot of churches don't even ask you for altar calls or anything any longer. And you know what? But it's up to you. You know, rarely does a woman in labor have to be told to go have a baby. Pretty much by the time labor comes, she's going to do what's natural. Water, tub, dirt, mud, landfill, it doesn't matter. Bullets flying around her head. What's natural will happen. The baby has to come into the world. And you have to do what's natural to you or supernatural and come into the kingdom of God. Okay. Now, this is what Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again by God's word and will is how we become eternal citizens, temporarily stationed in this world. The new birth makes us citizens of creation's oldest civilization, the supernal kingdom of the Most High God. When you're spirit-filled, it gives you your born-from-above status. So your first birth will see to it that you go to hell. Your second birth will see to it that you go to heaven. You see how that works out? See, it's not a matter of whether or not you do good deeds or not. You know, we have a lot of folks that do very good deeds while they're in other countries. And you know what? Those countries still send them home. They can go, they do all these great work, and maybe let them stay a little longer. Maybe not. But when it comes to counting who has met the criteria to become their resident, their permanent resident or citizen, they will send you home. And so you understand God appreciates your good deeds. He loves that you feed the poor. He's excited about that. He loves that you put some clothes and you do kindness. That's great. And you know what? He takes an account of it. And before he tells you to depart from me, he says thank you. Really great, really great. And you're going to look behind him and see all the people that you did good deeds for who took time to be born from above. And you're going to say, oops, that slipped my mind. I forgot to handle that. Don't let it be too late. You know, that's the gospel, the salvation. Now, you just had an altar call. I don't have an altar. This altar. Hallelujah. But don't be so busy doing good things for God, you forget to become God's child. Because God will only take his children home, just like you are not looking for all the neighbor's children to be moving in with you. All right. Now, there's a section here I really want you to read. It's called Fight for Your Salvation. Endure to the end. Today, Satan's hostile machine works relentlessly to overthrow Jesus Christ's redemption of you. Daily, it mercilessly pummels your faith in him with the goal of reversing what the Messiah did on the cross and its effects in your being. That machine aims to recover the Lord's converts who once served many gods and any god who are now serving his Father as the true and living God. In the subtlest ways, they carry out their schemes to draw you away from him. There is a word for this tactic. It is the word apostasy. In fact, the basic meaning of the word apostasy is to draw one away from his or her faith. In the Christian's case, it means to draw one of God's children away from him, their eternal father, to return the convert to the natural father's doomed God. Pretty deep stuff, huh? Well, you know, anything that's never going to die, anything that's going to be forever, anything that can't be beaten or destroyed, is pretty much going to be deep. So, hey, join us. So now, I thought it was a great segue to Answers from Heaven. We're ready to go to, as soon as I find the little thingamabob here. Okay, we're there. We're ready to go to Answers from Heaven. And so the question begins with, what is God doing to counterbalance and overturn the darkness overrunning our modern world? Don't you want to know, what is God doing? Does he know it's crazy down here? Does he know that we're having to fight for our life? We're scrapping? He knows, and he's been working on a plan. I'm going to tell you that plan tonight. I promise you, you're going to want to send this to all your friends. God knows that there's a problem. The first thing God did is he sent us help right now, real-time help from his world into this one. That's the first thing he did. Now, I have a course that I teach my apostolic and prophetic learners entitled Spiritual Protocratics. I introduce the subject in the dictionary, wherever the dictionary is. Anyway, I introduce the subject in the dictionary of spiritual protocratics, and I also talk about it, I do know, in Eternity's Generals. So if you have either one of those books, you should read about it and to learn what God has done and what he's talking about. Okay, so what does he do? Well, I'm going to tell you tonight about two visions. I actually have three. I'm debating on whether or not to tell you the third one because I think the third one has to do with our election, but I will find out about that if time permits. Now, the word proto, of course, you means, you know, for and before and foundation, etc., and crap means rule. So I want to talk to you about the spiritual rulers that assure that nothing happens on earth that God does not allow and that God is not working it out as we go along. He's not working it out as I go along, as he goes along. Hear this. You have to hear me because I want to read this scripture to you from Psalm 110:4, but you have to hear me. God is not making it up as he goes along. He has already finished. When God deals with the earth, he's coming out of his omega zone. If you look at your screen, it says, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And then over here, if you look at the bottom of it, it says here that you know, Jesus tells Peter, upon this rock I built my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so, and under that, we have Jesus saying, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, why won't Jesus' word pass away? Because his word is what made everything. So that means his word would have to precede everything. So before we had a planet, we had the Logos, we had the word of God, we had the Son of God, and you and me in the Son. Isn't that great? That's powerful. So I'm going to look at this a little bit. If you have the Prophet's Dictionary, and a lot of you do, it's been out a long time, but if you have the Prophet's Dictionary, under, on page, let's look at our page, it's 452. Can you believe I wrote a book that has like 600 pages, and nobody wrote it for me. I did not use one page to edit. I didn't use one ghostwriter. The Holy Ghost is the writer. I researched it, studied it, dug it out, took all of the years it took, something like 7 or 8 of them, to come up with these terms. So here we are. If you look at page 452, we talk about the 1205 protocratic guardians, a term that applies to the supernatural beings that govern and administrate God's natural world from eternity. These include his angels, mystery spirits, watchers, archangels, and the holy ones, or saints, as referred to in Daniel's Apocalypse, chapters 3 through 8. Zechariah called them the force, called one group the four horsemen that patrol the earth, and they also are assigned to people, nations, genealogies, and countries. The guardians oversee the routine events of the world and its various powers, elements, and forces. The watchers who judge and punish as well as restore Nebuchadnezzar for his pride exemplified this. And so if you look up prophetic, it's right under it. A term coined to explain the enduring government of the Creator and the basis for his being properly identified as Almighty God. The word is comprised of two terms, proto for founding, originating, and beginning, and kratos for rule, government, dominance, sovereignty. The two stems put together define clearly the role of God in his creation and the basis for his preeminence in all things. You know, people ask me all the time, well, why does God rule? Because he was first. God ruled because when he went before, listen, when he first found out he existed, the only thing he had to rule was himself. So he, from ruling himself, he then began to reproduce himself and rule over all of this. So, hey, God ruled because the first thing that he had to rule was himself and nobody was around to contest him. Amen. I like that. Isn't that great? I love it. Love that sugar pie, Jesus. All right, so. If you look at it, because this is important, we said the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. So I have a passage taken from Hebrews 12:23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. I love how God does this. And so we're talking about the church of the firstborn. Now, this is now, we assume that the church, glory to God, was only founded on earth. But remember, everything on earth had its start in God's world. Write that down. If you're taking notes, it's important that you write that down. I don't care what, if it's a gnat, a cat, a bird, or a brat, it all began in God's world first. And your question is, and our question is, as God's teachers and trainers, three folders, is to answer how and why. So that's what we're going to do. This comes from the Spiritual Protocratics course that I have that's quite extensive. Now, the next thing is, I told you God sent us help, real help. I'm not just talking about old help. I'm talking about fresh everything. By faith, we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God in order that what is seen did not come into existence from what is visible. Hebrews 11:3. It's important that you know we understand it, that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. But listen to me. Everything visible had an invisible beginning, which is really interesting when we have these battles about what does and does not exist. You know, Paul must have said it several times. Think about this guy. He spent his time with God, went to heaven, visited the Holy Ghost, had fun with the Lord, and in the end, came back and said, God made everything out of nothing. Everything out of nothing. So even if he made it out of nothing, that means it was visible to him. You know, when God says invisible, he doesn't mean what we think. We think invisible, we think immaterial, we think non-existent. No, God means unseen to the human form, unseen to human eyes, unseen, unseeable, unknowable. And so he leaves it up to us to discover it by our instincts and then to embody it so it becomes visible to those in our world. That's very important because that's why we keep missing God. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth from his word. Now, introducing the winning team. I want to introduce God's winning team. I want you to see that God's protocrats are these invisible beings and invisible creatures that I just read about in my dictionary. It's a great course, and I don't know when we're going to teach it again. You know, Prophet Ashley and Chief Prophet Tom and I were all trying to put it together, but it is a powerful course. No prophet, I think no minister, but no prophet should avoid this course. So the Most High Spiritual Protocratic Forces, God sent to the planet, bless his heart, because he loves us so much. God sent to the planet his home team. And so the home team is my second vision. My first one is coming up. He sent the home team to the planet. And so that means that, you know, we think heaven, everybody's walking around in these long shrouded outfits, you know, bored out of their gourd. I mean, don't even know why they're saying it, just numbed out because they're just, singing little hum songs and carrying on. That's not heaven. Heaven was busy before they made us. They already had a planet. I keep telling everybody, Earth is not God's first work. Earth is not even his second, third, 55th works. He's got a whole lot going on before he gets to Earth, which is why we keep dating the galaxy older than our planet. So Earth cannot be God's first work. As a matter of fact, the sun and moon are younger than Earth. We don't even pay attention to that. But those are just some things you need to know to think differently. Now, I'm really driving my team nuts over here. They're trying to keep the pictures going for you. But you know what? They're good at it. I want to talk to you about a vision. And I really debated with God about this vision. So I want to talk to you about the open appearance of Melchizedek. In 1996, I did a teaching called Behind the Veil. I introduced it. Yeah, you can face me for a little bit. I introduced it here in Tulsa. Well, actually, I introduced it in the church I had in Jersey then, and then I took it on the road. And dealing behind the veil, where God began the process of showing me how and why he's in control and how he keeps control. He doesn't lose control because people lose their minds. You understand? God never loses control. He can't lose control because nothing that happens stuns him. He doesn't worry about driving him crazy. He can't go crazy because he's seen it all, done it all, and remedied it all. So he doesn't lose control. But he also is not a sole proprietor. Christians, sons and daughters of the living God. Christians, sons and daughters of the living God, stop treating God as if he's a sole proprietor or a lone ranger. God is not alone. God, when he created the heavens and earth, if you read Proverbs 8, you'll see he was not alone. So we have creatures and beings who predate us. And we, remember, in Christ, predate it all. The only thing we don't predate is Jesus Christ. That's what makes us, that's why we're sons and daughters of the living God. That's what gives us our high station, which is why when we get to slumming with sin, we are an embarrassment to the eternal world. So God is not alone. He literally, he has a whole creation that helps him do this. I just read to you about them. So you're going to hear some powerful things tonight. So I was in my kitchen, and I have this. It can have it on the screen now if you want, or we'll just turn it later because I'm going to tell you the vision. So I was in my kitchen in October of 2015, and I'd had an extraordinary time with the Lord Saturday. And I knew by that time that he had shifted things in the spirit realm, shifted things in the heavens. Many of you prophets and apostles, intercessors, and some of you particularly sensitive folk, you know God has been doing something behind the scenes. And no matter how frantic the enemy looks, churning out his filth, churning out the garbage, and churning out the trash, you know he's doing it because he's in a panic. So what is making him panic? That's what we have to find out. Because, see, just because we don't see God and we don't catch it, they do. They all know each other, you know. They have no problem with who's who in the group. They know. They don't care if you wear, if God's angels show up as a big, burly wrestler, hallelujah, or a slim, prim female. They all know each other. And the dark knows the light and the light knows the dark. And they also know who's in charge. Now, I don't care about the deception that they put on the world. God created, allowed Satan. He said, I created the deceiver to deceive you. I created the waster to destroy you. I did that. That's his job. And Christians, you have to stop acting like he somehow or another is outdoing God. He is not. He can't. He already lost. He lost. He had already lost when Jesus came to the planet. Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. Now, Jesus hasn't even gone to the cross, let alone the grave, yet he beheld past tense. So he'd already fallen. He was already a fallen star. And so that's done. So anyway, so I'm standing in my kitchen, and God, on Sunday, after this amazing time, and suddenly a man appears, and he's huge. He's huge, and he's gorgeous. I had never seen such a beautiful man in my life, skin like nothing I'd ever seen. Flawless from the inside out, and you knew it. And if I hadn't had discernment, I would have thought it was Jesus because he reminds you of Jesus, but he wasn't. And so he stood in my kitchen, and he said, and I said, huh, and I looked around, and he was dressed as in a uniform. The uniform was navy blue. It had these gold buttons that were unbelievable. I've never seen gold like this before. And he had a hat on and his cap was, I couldn't even read the symbol. And so he was standing there, and he was huge. And then as I looked and I kept staring at him, I realized he wasn't alone and that there was a whole group of people like him who were behind him. And they were like him, but they were much smaller. This guy was huge. So I'm watching him, and I hear him say, okay, this is what he says. He says, I'm in. And he says, we're in. He said, and we're taking over. And I knew he wasn't from this planet because nothing on this planet. Anyway, but he said, and we're taking over. He said, and we're taking over judgment, we're taking over government, and we're taking over the planet. And I thought, wow. But he talked like somebody. I know you get those folks who can't roll this. That's fine. Have fun, people. But he talked like someone who knew the planet like no one else ever did. And again, if I hadn't had discernment, I would have thought it was Jesus. And so I sit there and I'm watching this, and he's reporting back to Jesus. And somehow or another, I hear Jesus is talking to him, and he's giving him a report, and he says, we're in the planet, and we're taking over. Now, this was October 2015. You'll start feeling, some of you all will go back in your mind and say, you know what? I felt the turnaround. He said, I'm taking over judgment, I'm taking over justice, He said, I'm taking over even our Supreme Court. He said, and I'm taking over the planet. And he talked like he knew this earth. He knew how to take it over. He knew it was his authority and that he had done it before. Now, you know, that's exciting stuff, isn't it? So I'm thinking, wow, so I don't know who it is. And I'm saying, okay, God, who is this God? Who is this God? And I made the power that exuded from this man was unbelievable. So who is this God? So this is Sunday, Monday, where I'm having prayer with my prophets, and I'm telling them, because I'm in shock, and I'm telling them, I said, you know, after we prayed and we ministered to God, I said, you know, I'd give anything to know who that man was because I felt like I should know him. And God said, that was Melchizedek. I said, no joke. You know, we were stuck. My prophets, after they chided me and joked with me a little bit about having Melchizedek show up in my kitchen, you know, they were like, yeah, sure, that's what we have in our kitchen, right? And so I sat there, and I said, really? I mean, you know, but see, my life with God, this is a portal. You know, when you're flowing in God, you are a portal. You're a portal. My daughter was telling me about all of these portals that everybody's talking about. Open. No, the Christian is the portal, not just the church. The church, a building can be destroyed. But Jesus said he was going to have a holy habitation not made by hands. We are the portal. We are the license. We are the authorizers. We are it. If heaven's going to move, it's going to move through us. And if it's not going to move through the church, it will only be because the church is no longer on earth. Now, you know, that's good stuff. So God says to me, I said, well, why, God, what is he coming? God said, this is what he said. He said, I'm taking back my planet. Now, several years ago, I wrote a prophecy and put it on the list. I never know what happened to it. I don't know. But I wrote it. I said, God said to me in a certain amount of years that he said, his Davidic side is stepping up. And that we're going to meet not just Jesus the Savior and not just the Lamb, but the Lion of Judah, and that his Davidic reign. And he took me to Revelation 3 where he talks about who he is, the Key of David. And so he said, I'm going to show myself as the sovereign because the battle that's coming down on me and on my people, because you're so caught up in it being on you, you don't realize this attack is against Jesus Christ. And it's against the person of Jesus Christ, the presence. But why else? The spirit of Jesus Christ is in the planet. You understand that they can talk about getting rid of church buildings all day long. They can turn them into boards and whole houses and brothels all day long. They can't get rid of the Holy Ghost. And he's the fullness of God. The Holy Spirit is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You can't get rid of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's going to keep on having kids. You can do whatever you. That's what they finally realized. Well, boy, they just keep being born. I'm telling you, I don't care what religion it is. You can talk about it all day long. When God gets ready to pour out salvation on this planet, I'm telling you, he's coming for his own. He's going to get his own. Jesus said he knows those that are his. So he's not waiting for all of that stuff. He doesn't care whether you get to the water to get baptized or not. That's what you need to do for an outward sign. But it's not going to change the fact that we are in the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is pregnant with Christians until the end of time. There is no way to do away with, and he cannot take them back home as seeds. They cannot go back to heaven except as penitent saints of God. Spirit-filled, born again, they cannot go. So I don't care. Don't buy the lie. Don't buy the rhetoric. Just because the unsaved are too blind to know how God got salvation in the planet doesn't mean that it's not working. So I sat there, and God started telling me this. So he's been, and I said to God, okay, so what are we doing? And I knew. So God took me back, and my prophets and I talked about it. And every time God get ready to change the planet, he sends Melchizedek. Every time. So God gets ready to change powers, right? Well, he already has Melchizedek in the planet because Hebrews 7 says that he has this priesthood, priest of the Most High God. And so Melchizedek is in the planet in Salem. We don't think about that. And so Abraham takes on his little 300 soldiers. He wins this unbelievable battle, takes out five nations. Now, you know he didn't do that alone, so where was the help? Well, he finds the help after he wins, and he decides, I'm going to be faithful to the Most High God, and Melchizedek joins him. And what does he do? He joins him, and they have communion. He brings him into his triumphant communion with the Most High God. Now, why is Melchizedek is in the planet? Because sin is in creation. So I've been teaching this since 1993. I know this story here. I know this thing. So sin, he is mediating the rupture of sin in creation. He is heaven's priest. He's not a high priest. He's heaven's priest, and he's mediating all of the bloodshed and all of the violations and all of the things. Now, and he's doing it with spiritual sacrifices, but he's also carving out a territory for God's people. And he's securing it not from humanity only, but from the devils who don't want God's people to have it. So here God is about to set up his very first nation on earth, and he doesn't have, I mean, he may own the rest of them, but he's begetting them. He likens what he did with Israel as a begetting of a nation. He's birthing his own nation, and he's doing something that hasn't been done. He put his spirit in that nation. He didn't put his spirit in any other nation. His spirit is watching the planet, but he put his Holy Spirit in that nation to guard them, and then he gave them his word. So God is doing something amazing. Well, he starts with Abraham, not Moses, Abraham. And so he tells Abraham, I've made you a father of many nations, so Abraham is going to be the father of all kinds of people. All kinds. If you got faith, you all kinds of folks. And when it turns out, Abraham actually birthed all kinds of people. You know, he had Sarah, he had one child there, he had another wife, and don't forget Hagar had her, and then he had another wife after Sarah died with six more kids. So Abraham, indeed, is populating the planet with his seed. So when Melchizedek meets him, he brings him into this covenant, and they have communion, and Abraham introduces the tithe in the planet to the Most High God, because nobody was giving him tithe like that before. See, there was no law for tithe. Tithe is not under the law. It was never under the law. Abraham did that as a thank offering for winning a war. Every time you keep your job a week later, you need to go pay a tithe, baby, because somebody else did not keep their job and can't tithe. So Abraham set, if we believe Abraham set the pace for faith, then he set the pace for tithe. So he gave him a tithe of all. I know we got, because you know, you hear people say, well, tithing is under the law. It didn't begin under the law, it began under faith. And you, the only way you can tithe is by faith. Because trust me, baby, what? You're going to sit there and give somebody 10% of your hard earned money. You better know you got some faith. You got some good faith. I'm back. Hallelujah. So, anyway, so Abraham he meets Melchizedek and he goes into communion, and then God seals the covenant. And he says, here it is. Now, think about it. Abraham is king and priest. We are made kings and priests to God. He's king and priest, and he has a region. Now, folks, I submit to you, go with me, people of God, I submit to you that that Melchizedek was what we would call today an alien. He did not belong to this world. God dropped him into the planet to make sure it didn't self-destruct before God got what he wanted. And he wasn't alone. If we said order of Melchizedek, we don't know how many Melchizedekians there were. We don't know how many priests, but we do know three things about him. If you look at the screen, they were warriors, he was a king, and he was a priest. Because if you look to the side, that's what it is. Melchizedek, the warrior, king, and priest. Why? So this whole idea that Christians don't have to war, are you kidding me? If you're going to keep anything in this world, you better know the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Because it's not going to come to you easy, which is why I wanted you to get that. So when we see Melchizedek mentioned again, he's mentioned by David. And David is prophesying as king. See, he's prophesying about the king that's coming from him, his offspring, his later down the line descendant, Jesus Christ, who would also be from the tribe of Israel. We know that Melchizedek is tied to Judah in some way. So we understand that. And we can get into that. This is not a class on that. I'm just trying to give you some backstory. So now we've got Abraham. He pops up again with David. What did David do? Change life again. changing life again. He's making Israel a world power. So first Abraham was made a world power, and then Israel's made a world power. And then he shall, when his Melchizedek shall begin, he shows up again with Jesus Christ. We don't know that till we listen to Paul, because he's also showing up to Paul. How well can Paul write about somebody that was ages before and write intimately about him? Intimately. Tell you that he had no beginning, had no end. Now, you have those people say, well, you know, he was in the Jewish writings. Yeah, but where'd they get it from? You know, I mean, was he just having to be a favorite story like our favorite movies and favorite shows? Just hang on? Or was there something more pronounced? Again, apostles and prophets don't read the Bible as poems and allegories and symbols, because our interpretive faculties are too high to stop there. So we don't stop on the obvious. We go into the supernal realms of God, and we see what he's doing. Now, Paul was a man that said he was taken up to the third heaven, caught up to the third heaven, and has seen God and saw things that were too much for him to utter. We talked about that at other times. So he understands God's system. Now, Jesus Christ ends up being, now listen to this, he's being made high priest over the order of Melchizedek, which means Melchizedek wasn't a high priest. Jesus, he was keeping the priestly institution open, first in Levi, and then, which was under the law, but it was all, God always had a priestly from heaven. Because remember, Lucifer tore up heaven. He needed a priest in heaven. Okay? They were battling and fighting him and all that kind of stuff going on up there. So God needed to be, you know, we have to appease him and all of these things. Now, I'm going very quickly because I don't have a lot of time, and I want to get to the second dream. It's very important. And so he says, Lord, the Lord is good. So he says that, you know, he comes again, and Paul says, Jesus becomes high priest of the order of Melchizedek, and we are the priestly order or royal priesthood of Melchizedek, according to Peter. Now, how do we know that? Because Jesus is our high priest, and we're not Levitical, so we have to be Melchizedekian. We don't have a lot of options, all right? And that's eternal. It's an eternal priesthood, but it's also the priesthood for the lineage of kings. It's a priesthood for sovereigns. Oh, hallelujah. Why is it important? Because all kings are made royal by a deity, a ruling power. Every king was made, they understood that. So the job was, it was the king's job to be the priest of the God of the land and to pass that service on to the population. And it was the God of the land's duty to reciprocate by blessing that king and this land. So that is the priest-king monarch connection, just in case you didn't know that. So Jesus Christ is our king. His job is to keep God real happy and also to plead our case and to be our advocate when we cut up and he can't, you know, God pop. He got to go there and say, yeah, now, Father, I understand. The so-and-so, but they really have a heart for you. I'm in there, you know, Father, come on then. Because God is a righteous God. He's a just God. And God uses intermediaries because even he has moments where enough is enough and too much is too much. Oh, that's so good. Isn't that good? And so Jesus is the high priest over the order of Melchizedek. So we were born into that. We were born into this eternal priesthood. And we were born into this priesthood that serves God from our spirit, but serves God with eternal things. It's an eternal order, guys. So the church is in trouble. What does God do? He's doing it one more time. He's going to change the planet again. He sends in Melchizedek. That's his number one change agent. That's the Lord Jesus' number one change agent. And he starts by warring. He's a warrior. He always wars. You know, we look at the cross and we're like, wow, this is wonderful. Nobody had a violent day but Jesus. No. Jesus wasn't the only one that had a violent day that day. Devils had a violent day because that unleashed those angels of God that have been watching him abuse their Savior and abuse their sovereign for 30-something years to go and pay, and do, hey, come on, pay back. Why do you think he says he led captivity captive and he made a show of them openly? We didn't see. We didn't see Jesus leading anything captive. We didn't see Jesus making a show of anything, but yet Scripture said he did. Where was this show? Well, Ephesians 3:10 gives us a clue. The principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So while we were sitting here, they were sitting there having Passover, and it was wonderful, and the rest of the people were crying, and you know, because we lost our Savior. Honey, they were tearing up behind the scenes. It was a battle for real. Otherwise, we wouldn't have written if the princes of this world had known that it's never crucified the Lord of glory. But we don't tell this thing right. We keep telling you all that little cupcake story. No wonder you don't want to believe him. You think you can't do anything. No, no. God was so smart. He did something that no one could imagine. He put his sovereign son in hell because that's how much he wanted his property back. I want my children back. And when God wants something, I want to tell you folks, my experience with this man has been this. When God wants something, God gets what he wants. I want to move on to the next thing. Is this all right with you guys? Are you all with me? Yeah? Okay, because I'm going to need that. You know, I need those praying prophets and intercessors and apostles. I need that prayer warriors. I need you to pray through for me because this is not easy to do. I'm not one for spectacular. I don't play spectacular things. And I don't play on your feelings and emotions like that. I value your love for Christ, and I don't want you to get off on crazy, but he wants to do this. So God said his people are saying to him, Lord, how do we know that we're going to win? And he gave me a dream, and this is the next thing he did. God sent his agents, his spiritual protocrats, and he sent them from heaven to earth. And I did it in a dream. And so I did this to depict the dream. Please don't write me and tell me that I need some artwork. I am an apostle. I never told you I was an artist. But you know what? I wanted you to get the picture. So don't write me and tell me that, okay? Because, you know, people be sending me Facebook, inbox me on silly stuff. I don't care about that. I'm trying to get the word out. So anyway, if you want to help, help. Otherwise, loose me and let me go. All right. So here's the other dream. So God sent his citizens in the world. On February 22nd, the day after my birthday, 2016, I had a vision. And in a vision, an angel came to get me and took me to a field. And it was it was huge. It was green. The sky was blue. Yeah, you can bring it back. The sky was blue and clear. Now, I saw, as I'm in this dream, I remember I had three more leading up to it, where I kept seeing these huge, huge vessels, huge spacecraft that kept showing up. You know, and I'm going to deal with that in a minute, but they kept showing up and kept showing up. And so, and they were white, and they had this power that was so fierce coming out of the back of them. So then I finally saw one. First I saw them all docking, like God built this amazing docking station in his realm and wherever they're docked, okay? And it was huge. And so they were all docked there. And then I saw them, then they began to come and back up to an opening, and they took all of this cargo. Didn't know what it was, but at the time, because all I could see was it backed up. And so finally, the third time I had this was when I was taken to the field. And I took to the field, and I looked up into the sky, and boy, those spacecraft that have been out in space are now in our space. They're in our skies. And I'm looking up and I'm thinking, wow, those are the ones I just saw. And as I'm looking up, they open up. And when they open up, God airdrops planes. He airdrops warplanes. He called them bomber planes. He airdrops commercial planes. And he airdrops all of these people. And I'm saying, huh. And, I mean, I have them depicted with, parachutes. They didn't even have that. They didn't need it. They did not need anything. But I needed you to know that they were being airdropped. And he airdropped. So I said to God, I understood, you know, we understood the warrior planes, the war planes. I said, I understood those. I mean, because, you know, you have to battle, take back the church. You know, the gates of hell will not prevail. I was really clear. I said, but why did you send all of those commercial liner-looking planes? Now, remember, these are not what they are in God's world. They're what we need to understand. So I said, why did you send them? He said, I sent my civilization because humanity has lost the power to defend itself on earth. And so I thought, huh, he said, now you know how I win. He said, I win because I don't trust you. I know you're all but clay. I know you're too feeble. I know your courage gets weak. He said, so whenever we want a major campaign, like any other government, we send our elite force. So God sent these people who look like everyday folk. I mean, they were all kinds of people, all walks of life. He said, their job is to see to what I want happens. And that is why you, come on, I know y'all are hearing me. That's why you see Christians are getting stronger again. We're becoming more and more powerful. We're becoming vocal. We're becoming decisive and adamant. But all of a sudden, if things are clear, that thing in our head, that witchcraft spirit is being snapped off our heads because God has sent his own civilization. He didn't just send soldiers. He didn't just send angels. This is a long campaign, and they're going to be here for a while. And you're going to see Christianity rise again. See, I know a lot of people have told you different things, but and I was believing that stuff until I saw them. He said, they will cast my vote. They will vote what I want. They will go the way I want. They will change. He said, and they are, trust me, these are superior beings, and they will back down devils. Is that amazing, guys? He said, I told God I didn't want to, you know me, I don't do the spectacular, but God said, but my people are crying out to me. They want to know how we're going to win. They want to know when is the strength coming, will the change come. But I'm telling you, by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, and those of you who know your God know that this is the word of the Lord that's landing on you right now. God's civilization, and they're in the whole planet. They dropped here, they went off to other parts, and he dropped them all over the planet. And I mean, a number of these vessels, and they were all packed with his civilization. He said, this is how I take back the kingdom when I want it. And again, I'm not relying on you, but we're here to be strength for you. So now more than the Holy Ghost, you've got these beings. And you know, talk about entertaining angels unaware. We're getting ready to have that era. You know, you already know what it is to entertain devils aware and unaware. But now you're going to find out how to entertain God's forces and God's citizens unaware. When Jesus Christ came to Sinai, he was on that mountain, but it said tens of thousands of his saints were with him. And so over and over again, you see the battle where angels are striking and angels are doing this and angels are doing that. Oh, I forgot the other time and the angels showed up again with the apostles. They showed up again, came on in, the apostles, arrest them, get them out of jail. Oh, no, they're not going to jail now. Come on. Y'all go preach this. Stand in the middle. Stand in the middle of the street, okay, and go tell everybody the words of his life. Peter, all in jail. You got the one that he's supposed to be heading up the Jerusalem Council. He up in jail, all chained up. The angel's like, not so. Not so, and got him out of jail. Peter was so confident God was going to do it. He was catching a knife. Angel, now look at this. See, this thing, Hamashiach. But the angel stands there, and you can see how powerful it is. Electricity is not in the world, but it's in this angel. He stands in front of that gate opens. With an electrical charge out of his being, that gate opens, and him and Peter walk on by. Oh, this is good stuff. See, the reason we're stuck is because you've been talked out of your Bible and you've been talked out of the reality of God. You've been talked, well, it's just an allegory. No, you don't, if that's the case, then you are allegorically saved, which means you are allegorically still going to hell, which means you have an allegorical Holy Ghost and you have an allegorical Savior and an allegorical cross because it's either on or off. He's either real or he isn't. So God wants you to know, and he wanted me to, he sent me to tell you these visions, that you would know that going forward, it's going to change. Going forward, God is getting ready to bully the devil. As he has bullied you, God said, but now my forces are there to bully him. And I'm telling you, by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, I'm telling you, to by tomorrow morning, some of you are going to wake up feeling like you're Samson. You're going to wake up feeling like you're super people. You're not even going to know why that thing is going to snap off your head, because God has sent his forces, and they're not just there to fight. They're there to strengthen. They're there to build, to help you build. And, oh, come on, somebody. I'm just lost. Hey, Jesus, God is good. God makes great by sending great into the planet. He does everything by his spirit. Everybody has an anointing, and he does everything by his spirit. And you know what we think? Well, that means he does it by puff of smoke and windows and mirrors. No, he doesn't. He sends forces to guarantee his win. God says to tell you, I have guaranteed my son this win. This win my son will have. And you're, boy, we're going to see Christians come out like never before. And I mean, let me tell you, I only have a few minutes. I'm getting excited, and I got to get to the end. I think I'm almost at the end. But listen to me. Let me tell you something. The best thing God did was let the lion stay out front. Let the lamb, because when the lion comes out in the Christian, they roar, and they are some dangerous people. Let us not forget, we did take the planet. Let us not forget. I don't care about the crime, this and well, I don't think it was fair. Anybody think it's fair what they're doing to us? So guess what? Our God reigns. We win in this battle. So I'm telling you, Christianity took the planet. No other God can make that statement. Now, they're trying, but you see, God has said, are you kidding? These are my sons and my God. This is my planet. And so God allowed the world to be at peace. He allowed them to rest under the lamb. But when it comes time for God to defend himself, he sends out the lion. And I'm telling you, the other side of Christianity is going to come back online. I know that folks don't want to hear that, but I'm telling you, and some of you all, bless your little heart, you've been swallowing it back and sucking it up and carrying on, walking the floor, shaking on the inside. Half of y'all on pills and tranquilizers. Get off of that stuff and let God do what he's got to do. You're all up in the doctor's office talking about we can't find anything. You still going because it's got to be. No. It's the lion that's trying to roar. It's the lion of Judah, because we are of that tribe. We're of the tribe of Judah. We are the lion's tribe, and we are the leader's tribe, and we're the ruler's tribe, and we're supposed to rule because that's what we do. Aren't you glad you tuned in tonight? Aren't you glad you didn't miss this firsthand? But aren't you even more glad that it's recorded and you can send it to the world? The Lion of Judah will roar, and he's roaring through you. You think Jesus is going to stand on a mountain and just yell out? No. He's roaring through you, through me, through the church, through the tongues that you pray, the prophecies you give. Get in that word. Learn your God. Stop faking it. Stop acting and propagating other gods because you're too confused about the God that saved your soul. Put that thing down. Learn your God, because the Lord has need of thee. And he's summoning you. He's marshaling his forces, and he's summoning you. And trust me, we can't lose. This generation has never had God flood the planet. But I'm telling you, he's flooded the planet. He's flooded it, and it's getting ready to be real sweet in Jesus' land. Real sweet. So will you do me a favor? Will you pass this along for me? I should have gotten my little 2 million hearts by now. Because you know what, I was only a few, I should have got my hearts by now. But listen, do me a favor. Share this with the body of Christ. Share it with your leaders. Share it with the pastor who's losing his church and we're going to know if God's going to come through. Trust me, it's getting ready to get really good for us because God is lifting the oppressor's yoke off of our neck. He's lifting it off, and he's putting it on his enemies. The kings of the earth have gathered together against our Lord and his Christ. But trust me, this Christ is used to winning. That's what he's doing. Oh, she's telling me I got to go, folks. Do you hear me? I got to leave you. I'm glad I got it out, though, because I was wondering if I was going to get it out. Again, see you. Where am I? Thursday, the Paula Price Show, Thursday night, prophetic end. Share this and let me know. Inbox me. Please inbox me. Tell me what this said to you. Tell me what it did for you. Tell me how it's acting. Please let me know, because I get my encouragement and my strength from you. And join me then. So anyway, 60 seconds. You know, that means I got to leave you guys. Pass it on. I love you dearly. God, let the lion roar in your people today. God, let your people meet the lion of the tribe of Judah. Let them meet David, who has the key that opens and no man can shut and shuts and no man can open. God, let us find our legacy and our inheritance in you by the Holy Ghost. And I decree it to be so in Jesus' name. Good night.
up, that's